Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines 248-539-9797. Just saw Dan Dickerson out there. Dan Dickerson is here recording some commercial spots. First of all, great dude. We are blessed with awesome play-by-play guys in the city of Detroit. But also, he's like, this is exciting. This is really exciting. So it's much cooler for them to be calling a team that has got interesting players, young players, performing young players. And now here they sit, 5.5 games out. You know, whatever you felt yesterday when we asked, what's your mindset? What's your state of mind? Sorry, your state of mind with the Tigers. Whatever it was yesterday, today it's one game better, right? It's one game better. Now, all it takes is a typical baseball losing streak, which can always be right around the corner in this sport. But they now have a team where it doesn't feel like they're conceding anything. Like they're showing up and trying to win. You think it's easier for them to show up at the ballpark with a 5.5 in the games back column? You think it's easier for them to prepare? I mean, I know all these young guys are trying to establish themselves. But when you show up at the ballpark, and you create, you have in the context of a team that's on the brink of a playoff race, that might be one series away, might be a week away. Maybe this is as good as it gets. But I think we're going to look back years from now and say, these kids didn't know what they were doing.
Well, do you think they even talk about it in the clubhouse? How far they are back, playoffs, wild card, does that word even come up?
It's a great question for AJ tomorrow morning. Yeah,
they're going to ask him tomorrow.
Costa's buzzing around here. Make sure you tell him to ask that question. Do you guys talk about this? All right, feedback coming in. We're talking about disappointing players that were released from the Lions. To me, it's Tom Kennedy. He was the biggest disappointment being released. I don't think he's ever really gotten a chance. There must be a reason they keep him around all these years. They kept Raymond. He's 5'8", 180, and Kennedy's 5'10", 195. So I don't think size was the issue. Who knows? Maybe they'll bring him back on this on his yearly practice squad signing. They probably will, and I think you answered your own question. Khalif Raymond's better. They got a guy that's a little bit better than Tom Kennedy.
I think he's probably a lot better than Tom Kennedy.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, and then
all he needs to be though is a little bit better, and Tom Kennedy gets released.
Yeah. But Tom Kennedy, the size hurts him if he's trying to play a position or make the team at a spot where they need size.
Yep.
And that's where it hurts him. So while he's competing against Khalif Raymond, he's going to lose that battle.
Signing undrafted free agent Isaiah Williams after the draft didn't help Tom Kennedy's
chances. That hurt.
I'm really upset that Gilmore didn't make it over Kendall Vildor. Cornerback, I've seen enough of Kendall Vildor to last me a lifetime. It seems like they punished Josh Reynolds by not bringing him back for the drops, but they bring back Vildor, who made just as much, if not more, costly mistakes. That's from Marlon and White Lake.
That's an interesting text, Doug. So we all know Josh Reynolds didn't leave on the best of terms as far as the fans' point of view because of what happened, the drops in the title game, the NFC title game.
Yep.
Vildor was part of those fluke plays as well. Why do you think Vildor never really gets mentioned in the same light as Reynolds?
We mentioned him a lot, but you're right.
But people, I think, because they don't blame Vildor for that play, right? He's trying to make a play. It bounced off his face mask. And Ayuk actually made a spectacular play to catch the ball.
I think you instinctively expect, we as fans, you expect every wide receiver to catch everything they could catch. And the idea that there was one drop is bad enough, but there were two. That one was directly a turnover, the other was essentially a turnover. Ah. I want to relive that again. 248-539-9797. All right, you brought this up in a show sheet a couple days ago, getting ready for the program. The Guardian caps. There are some players that are wearing them in games. We saw Steelers offensive lineman James Daniels wear one in that game against the Lions on Saturday. Jonathan Taylor is probably the biggest name player that's wearing one in games. Offensive, defensive linemen, tight ends, linebackers, a couple years ago, they were required to wear them during preseason practice. Then they updated the mandate to basically everybody but quarterbacks and wide receivers. And they mandated they use them in regular season practice now. And actually now defensive backs and wide receivers were added to the position groups this season. Quarterbacks, punters, and kickers have the option. Everybody else, it's mandated they wear them in practice. So the question is, and they are considered to reduce the impact by 33%. You know, we'll probably see some players wear them in games, and teams are, look, they look oversized. They look a little goofy. Sometimes they fly off. But Baltimore Ravens wide receiver Rashad Bateman had a quote, "It messes up everyone's swag on the field. You'll never see me wearing that in a game." As all many of us are former athletes of one time or another, did you ever wear anything that, quote, messed with your swag, but you didn't care? I'll give you an example. When I was a kid playing basketball, football, and soccer, I wore glasses. Do you know how little people respected me showing up playing basketball with glasses on?
Like just regular prescription
glasses.
Just regular
prescription glasses. I always wanted to get the Kurt Rambis glasses.
The goggles.
But family never made that investment. Because there wasn't a whole lot to invest in. It wasn't like they were saying, you know, this kid could go big time if we get him the goggles. But I wore glasses. Otherwise, I couldn't see. And probably the sport that I was the best in was actually soccer goalie. You kind of need to be able to see. Judging the ball in the air without my glasses, difficult. So anyway, have you ever had a piece of equipment that messed with your swag? 248-539-9797.
Someone should tell Bateman that CTE messes with your swag as well. But no, I get what he's trying to say, though. I mean, a lot of times with players, you know, everybody, like, look good, feel good, play good, right?
Yep.
For me, Doug, I'm nearsighted, and I've been able to get away with it pretty much my whole, like, athletic career.
Yep.
But I was asked to play in a flag football league recently. Later, this is after high school. And they needed a quarterback. They knew I could throw the ball. So, like, hey, you want to play quarterback for a flag football team? Sure. All right, I'll give it a shot. I never tried this before. It was really fun. It was full contact at the line. So we actually had, like, offensive linemen and defensive linemen, like, going at it, trying to, you know, get to the quarterback. Here's the thing. I'm like, okay, I can get away with this. And then as the receivers start going further and further down the field, I was like, I don't know who's who. You're right. Because it's you wear, like, not uniforms, but everyone's got, like, a jersey or a color that you wear, but still, it gets kind of sketch-mageche once they get down, like, past 20, 35 yards.
Yep.
And so I was like, all right, I'm going to try throwing on the glasses. I had the same thing as you, Doug. I just threw on regular prescription glasses. Nothing to hold them on to my head, no goggles, anything like that. Not good, man. Not good when you're running around. It's
weird how you need them. And I swear to God, people thought way less of me.
Oh, of course. They're like, dude.
You can't play.
Are you doing taxes? Are you playing sports? Right?
Yeah, maybe there was some validity to it. Like, this guy can't possibly take the sport seriously enough that he doesn't have goggles or get contacts.